We started our 40 days of love last Sunday. How did the first week go? Was it a good week? Yeah. All right. Are we growing a little bit? Do you feel a little bit different after 1 week yet? I know the Lord has really been working on me this week. Oh, my, my. Praise your name. You too, Debbie? Hey, all right. Praise God. Amen. Week number two. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love matters most. Saints, let's join our hearts in prayer. Let's bow our heads before the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Merciful and almighty God, as we call to you this day, Lord, we once again ask for you to bless us with your truth. Our prayer indeed is to renew our minds as your will unfolds in our lives in living every day in the power of your love. We ask that you would unveil our eyes, Lord. Let us see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in each and in all of us. So as we actively now listen to the preaching of your word, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher today. In Jesus' name, we join together to say amen and amen. Amen. Now, you'll need a pen or pencil to get out, praise God, to do a little bit of jotting. Now, there are a lot of songs about love. Amen. Can't turn on the radio or the TV that you don't hear some songs about love. Now, I am going to just share a few songs. I'm going to start a few, and I want you to finish it just to see how you've been paying attention to some of these love songs. Amen. There was a love song by Foreigner, and they started out, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Praise God. All right, paying attention. That was Foreigner. Diana Ross and the Supremes, they sang a song, you can't hurry love. You just have to wait, because love don't come easy. It's a game of... All right, praise God. You got an A so far. An A plus. Just do one more, and that is by our sister Tina Turner. All right. All right. All right. All right. Amen. In the first service, they just broke out in it. Okay. We'll just do one line. All right. What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be? Amen. All right. There's all kinds of love songs out there. Amen. Praise God. You all got a 100 on that. Praise God. Now, looking at our sermon note sheet, we see Matthew 22, verses 36 and 39. I want us to read this together. Together, saints. Which is the most important command? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Amen. I'd like for you to circle most important. The question was, which was the most important? And then circle the second most important. God says these are the two things that matter most in life, saints. Love for God and love for other people. God says if we get these two things right, then we've got it. Amen. We've got it. So we are called to love God. We're called to love people. This is our highest calling. And guess what? We're called to love people totally and unconditionally. And this is a demonstration that we are true disciples. All right. It's not any kind of crosses we're wearing or badges. It's the demonstration of our love one for another. Well, saints, how do we love one another? We can walk around and say, I love you, I love you. But then what? What comes after we say that? All right. Well, why is loving others so important? Well, feeling love, God built us where it's a primary emotional need for human beings. How many admit you want to feel loved? You want to feel loved. Amen. And when your love tank is full, you are emotionally satisfied. Well, Gary Chapman, in The Five Love Languages, he identifies five ways to speak love, how to express heartfelt commitment to our mates and those in our lives. Now, Katie and Walter, they have used this book in our Married Sensation classes over the years, and it comes up in a lot of our sessions. And not only has Gary Chapman written The Five Love Languages, you can go to the bookstore, it's got five love languages for children, five love languages for teenagers, five love languages for singles, and it just goes on. He has just really written more and more on the topic, and we do highly recommend it. When we have marriage counseling, this is one of the books that we go through, because it's important to know our own love language and the love language of others in our lives. Amen. Now, you'll see printed in your sermon notes the five love languages. What's the first? Words of affirmation. The second, quality time. The third, receiving gifts. Fourth, acts of service. Five, physical touch. Amen. So often people misunderstand one another. We feel unloved by our spouses, by our parents, by our peers, our elders, our children, due to the fact that there is a breakdown of communication at the level love is expressed. Now, I want us to know there are examples of the five love languages in the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the five love languages are a real and practical way to demonstrate love to God and love to people. So indeed, Jesus showed us the way to do this in his earthly ministry by modeling each of the five love languages for us. Now, the first is words of affirmation. If you are able to write quickly, you can write some of these passages down. In Luke 24, 50 and 51, Jesus blessed the disciples prior to his ascension. He affirmed them before he went back to heaven. Then in Matthew 26, 10 and 11, Jesus affirmed the woman who washed his feet with her tears and with the alabaster ointment. So he affirmed her. And then Ephesians 4, 29, we are commanded, everybody say commanded, commanded to speak only words that will impart grace to people, life-giving words to others, words of affirmation. Now, the second is quality time. Everybody say quality time. Quality time. Matthew 9:10, we see Jesus had dinner at Matthew's house. How many know you can have some quality time over dinner? Amen. Amen. And in Luke 19:5 and 6, we see Jesus stayed at Zacchaeus' house. Then in Luke 24:36 through 46, we see Jesus spend time with the disciples after his resurrection. So that is quality time that Jesus is modeling for us. Then it's the gift of receiving gifts, that love language. Matthew 7:11, Jesus said, God loves to give good gifts to God's children. Thank you, Lord. How many know you love receiving them gifts from God? Amen. Then in Matthew 15:35 through 37, we see Jesus fed the multitudes. That was a gift. Amen. Then acts of service, John 13:1 through 5, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. How many know they had some dusty, dirty feet? And he got down there and he washed them dirty feet. Amen. And then in Matthew 8:16, we see Jesus healed the multitudes. And in Matthew 20:28, Jesus said, he came not to be served, but to serve. Amen. Then we have physical touch. Matthew 8:3, we see Jesus touch the leper, the one who was suffering from the affliction of leprosy. In Matthew 8:15, Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law and heals her. Scripture says she gets up and she starts serving them. Then in Mark 10:16, we see Jesus took the children into his arms and put his hands on them. Thank you for your model, Lord Jesus. Now, saints, in understanding the five love languages, words of affirmation, Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. Now, affirmation means a positive declaration. But guess what? We have a tendency to focus on the negative. If we get 9 compliments, But then there's one who comes along and says, I don't like what you did. It is, oh, this was wrong with it, whatever. You know what? We forget about them nine. We start thinking, why'd they say that? I don't like them. We start thinking that. We focus on the negative. We have that tendency. All right, now, I know I'm going to admit it. Hallelujah. Amen. But a word of affirmation means going ahead and saying the assumed, going ahead and saying the unspoken about someone and affirming them. All right. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you think that is your love language, the love language of affirmation. Raise your hand if you think that is your love language. Amen. There are a few of us. There are a few. Hallelujah. We all in good company there. Amen. So in our family, this is my love language. All right. And the second one, quality time. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect the meeting together, but encourage one another. Saints, how is love spelled? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Hallelujah. You thought I was going to say L-O-V-E, didn't you? But for people who quality time is their love language, time is how you spell love. Now, this can hold a challenge for all of us. We're living in this hectic, busy lives. We all busy running around like roosters and chickens with our heads cut off. But the people whose love language is quality time, they want to spend time together in common pursuit to experience togetherness and oneness. And that is quality time. Raise your hand if you think that that is your love language, quality time. Praise God. Wow, wow. Praise God. We got a lot of quality timers. Amen. In our family, this is Pastor Rick's love language, and it's Anita's love language. All right, the next one is receiving gifts. Luke 6:38 says, if you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure. Now, saints, a gift is a tangible, everybody say tangible, tangible symbol of someone's thoughts toward you. Someone thought about you. They went out of their way. They picked up something for you when they were out, and they brought it home, and they just wanted to let you know they were thinking of you. Now, for those who have this a love language as their main love language, receiving the gift is not particularly about the value, but it's rather that they know you were thinking of them and that they are loved. How many believe that that is your love language? Amen. Amen. In our family, it is Samantha and it is Sharon. Hallelujah. There's a lot of here, yes. Because if I could bring her home a little pair of earrings or maybe even a little pack of gum, oh my goodness. So it makes her know I was thinking of her when it was out. And so that's what they love, for others to think of them. Amen. This is their love language. The next one is acts of service. Galatians 5:13 says, through love, serve one another. Now, this is expressing love by doing things for others, thoughtful planning, time and effort. And so if we know somebody in our family, acts of service is what they love, then we need to be paying close attention to what we can do to offer them, you know, to be alert for opportunities. If you know they like the floor vacuumed, hallelujah, then every time they come home, don't have lint and dog balls all over the house. Go ahead and vacuum. So when they come in, they say, oh, they feel so loved because you did that act of service for them. Speak their love language, amen. Now, how many here have acts of service as your love language? Praise God. Lots and lots, lots, lots. Praise God, amen. And then the last is physical touch. Romans 16:16, I love this verse. It says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Amen. Let me share with you a few hugging stats. Hugging is an amazing medicine. Did you know that? Hugging is an amazing medicine. Amen. Because it transfers energy. It gives the person who receives the hug an emotional burst. Amen. It just gives them a boost, like pep in their step. Amen. Now, someone somewhere said, one needs 4 hugs a day for survival. One needs 8 hugs a day for maintenance. And one needs 12 hugs a day for growth. Amen. So the goal is growth. You got to get 12 hugs in a day. Praise God. Amen. So for the person who this is their love language, give them those hugs, because that will put zip in their spirit and slide and they glide. You want to see them sliding and gliding? Then just go ahead. Science tells us, and I found this in the USAweekend.com, physical affection. action stimulates oxytocin. Now, I know I'm sounding real smart up here, but I did look it up. All right. Physical affection stimulates oxytocin, and that's a hormone that makes us feel good. Now, when oxytocin is flowing, they say stress is reduced, blood pressure goes down, mood improves, and pain is more manageable. Now, oxytocin can do all that. Well, now, we should know, all right, when we go around, we smiling and we greeting one another in Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot of oxytocin that's going on. Oxytocin is flowing all over the sanctuary, amen. Praise your name, Lord. And extending physical touch to others, it's got to be done in wisdom and discernment. You just can't go up and give somebody a bear hug and they didn't even know you was coming. Hallelujah. You got to warn somebody. Amen. Praise God. Let them know you're coming. But then don't let fear keep you from hugging and loving, because Scripture tells us, amen, greet one another with a holy kiss. All right. So praise God. If you're going to give somebody a bear hug, maybe ask, may I give you a bear hug? Amen. And they're all prepared for it. Praise God. The importance of physical touch can be seen in the way the enemy has distorted it in movies, and we see on the TV, on the news. Satan always tries to get into everything. But saints, this is a gift from God, and it is a gift, and it is a love language that God has given. How many here feel that physical touch is your language? Amen. 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 Praise God. I like that one too a lot. All right. Now, the keys to discovering someone's love language, and we can read those together. I printed those, is watch their behavior. What makes them light up? So then that can give you a clue to what their language is. And then what language do they most readily give to others? Because that they're really speaking out of their own love language. It may indicate their own needs. And then another thing you can do is just ask them. Could you tell me what is your love language? Amen. That's, you could just ask them. Amen. All right, so God has commanded us to love one another and just determine to try to use all of these love languages to communicate love to God and to others. So no matter what your age, you can be young or you can be a senior, no matter how you're in the past, whether you've done well or have not done well, you know what? I want you to high-five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, this is a new day. This is a new day. This is a new beginning. Today is a new beginning. Today is a new beginning to begin walking in a life of love. Hallelujah. Now, saints, we're also today going to look at three laws of love. If we're ever going to be great lovers, how many want to be a great lover? I want to be a great lover. I want to be a great lover. Amen. Amen. So if we're going to be great lovers, if we're going to really learn how to love God and really learn how to love other people, we've got to keep in mind the three laws of love. Okay, there's three we're going to go with today. Law number one, I want you to jot this down. The best use of life is love. The best use of life is love. That's law number one. God says we need to make learning how to love our number one priority, our primary objective, saints, our greatest ambition, our life's purpose is learning how to love. Now, the Bible says that God looks at your lifestyle, God looks at my lifestyle, and God says, do you love me? And God looks at us and says, do you love others as you love yourself? So let's look and read this verse together. The Word of God says, whoever does not love does not know God. Now, that's deep, saints. That's just as clear as it can get. It goes on to say, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Amen. Saints, the reason why God wants us to learn to love on earth, because God wants us to become more like Jesus. Is that your desire today, to be more like Jesus? Look at 1 John 4:20. Let's read that together. If we say we love God, but we hate others, we're liars. Now, that's pretty blunt, too. For we cannot love God, whom we have not seen, if we do not love others, whom we have seen. Amen. For example, you can't go around telling them, I can't stand them. Ooh, they drive me crazy. They drive me up a wall. What you doing going up a wall? You better come down from that wall. All right? But that's where patience comes in, under the umbrella of love. Guess what? We all need patience with one another. Just the word, saying the word patience reminds me of my need for it. Amen. And all of us, well, I say most of us, I know I need to grow in patience. It don't matter if you're a little kid or if you're a senior. There are times, I'm just going to tell you, when other people just get to you. Hallelujah. They just get to you. I don't care if I am the only one in here, that people just get to me sometimes. All right now. Y'all looking at me like ain't nobody getting to you. But I'm going to tell you, oh yeah. All right. Now I think developing patience is difficult because it goes against our human nature, you know. It's like, oh, why don't they just do what I asked them to do? What are they doing? Now, all of us need to work on this patience. And even with our children, parents, we got to just ask God to help us be patient. Okay, and there's a story of this little boy. It's just so darling. He was 4 years old. He was traveling with his mother. He kept asking his mother, are we there yet? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? And she was like, ooh. And so she finally turned around and said, we got 90 miles to go. So don't ask me again when we're going to get there. I don't want to hear from you. We got 90 more miles to go. And his eyes went like saucers, and he was trying to hold it in. He wanted to ask it so bad. He was looking out the window. But then he just had to just break out. He said, real timidly, he said, Mom, will I still be four when we get there? Oh, boy. Oh, will I still be four? Praise God. She had to just bust out and laugh at that. Oh, my goodness. But that's the second reason why developing patience is so difficult, because it just wears on our pride and our selfishness and our anger. And these things choke out the fruit of patience and kindness and love. Just choke it right on out. Amen. But thank God, God is patient. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. And God wants everyone to get saved. He desires that no one be lost. So that every day that God doesn't allow Jesus to come and return, he's waiting for somebody else to give their life to Jesus Christ. Thank you for your patience, oh God. And saints, this 40 days of love, we have an awesome opportunity to learn and to grow in our patience, our kindness, our love, and our relationship. And guess what? We don't have the power to love like we ought to. So we have to just depend on the power of God. The power of God. Look at the next verse. It says, love is more important than anything else. It's what ties everything else together. Love is what ties it all together, saints. It integrates your life. It integrates my life. And what matters is that we love God with all of our hearts, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. And another blessing that comes from love is God says, if we love, then it will cover a multitude of our sins. How many need your sins covered? Thank you. This is good news to me. Thank you that as I love, a multitude of my sins are being covered over. Amen. And then there's another thing that love does. And scripture says love reverberates forever. That means it just keeps going on and on. And love keeps going on and on, even into eternity. Hallelujah. In fact, scripture says it's the only thing in our lives that's going to last. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, three things will continue forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. Everything else we do is temporary. But every single loving action is going to go on into eternity. Amen. Praise your name. So when you're making that decision, I'm going to love through the power of Jesus Christ. Guess what? A little jewel gets on your crown up there. Another little jewel. Every time you're patient, every time you're kind, every time you're loving. How many want lots of jewels on your crown? Amen. I don't want no ball crown. I want a crown with some jewels on it. I don't want no bare ball crown. Amen. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. So today, saints, I want us to learn what matters right now are relationships. What matters is that we love God with all of our hearts, and we love others as we love ourselves. That's why God put us on earth. And saints, it says, without love, our lives are worthless. It's a wasted life. Let's read this next verse. It says, no matter what I say or what I believe or do, I'm bankrupt without love. Bankrupt without love. Saints, nothing can take the place of love. Nothing. And life is not about achievement. Life is about love, saints. And you know what? Busyness can cause us to forget that. We're so busy running and running and running around that we forget life is about love. Now, we're going to take one moment and we're going to look at a video clip which really speaks to this issue of busyness that causes us to forget that life is not about achievement. It's about love. And I thank you, Karen, for your patience with me in putting the video together.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy Bill and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know. Turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
Praise God. Praise God. Saints, why are we doing these 40 days of love? It's because we want the rest of our lives to be the best days of our lives. Amen. No matter if we've made mistakes in the past, guess what? Today is a new day. And I want you to just high five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Let's take that time. Nothing can take the place of love. So law number one is the best use of life is love. Law number two is we must show love through action. Show love through action. In our New Testament text, 1 Corinthians, Paul said that love was the most excellent way to live. And the most excellent way is the way of love. In verse 4, Paul tells us that love is patient. Love has a long fuse. Do you know anybody that's got a short fuse? I mean, it don't take nothing, and they're just blowing up all the time. Paul says love is slow to boil. You know anybody that boils real quick? Woo, they get mad in a hot minute. Paul says love is slow to boil. Paul says love counts down before it blasts off. Hallelujah. And then Paul tells us that love is patient, it's kind. And that's what I want us to really consider today. There were times in Jesus' life when, yes, he had to go rest. He needed time with the Lord to pray. But despite the pressures of popularity, the crowds that were constantly bumping up against him and pushing him all around, despite the demands on his time, we see Jesus in his kindness would stop everything he was doing and he would give people attention. He would address people's needs and concerns. You see, saints, Jesus not only talked about love and kindness, Jesus modeled love and kindness for us too. And I think those are the ways we need to learn to show in our lives today. Jesus paid attention to the people around him. He paid attention to their needs. Now, saints, when you and I give attention to somebody, what we're saying to them is, you matter to me. That's why I'm listening to you. You're valuable to me. That's why I'm taking the time with you. You're worth listening to. That's why I'm listening to you. You're saying all kinds of things to people when you take time to hear them and give them your attention. Yes, it's a part of your life that you won't give back, but you're investing into their lives. Galatians 5:6, let's read that together. It says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. We all need it. We all need love. Dr. Richard Swenson is one of the world's most authorities on stress. And saints, he wrote this. He said, I've come to believe that the speed of our society is as much responsible for the problems of virtually all of our relationships because they are damaged by hurry. We're always in a hurry. We walk fast. We talk fast. We eat fast. When we announce, ooh, sorry, I got to go. Amen. And I must confess, when I get my nails painted, they know me as I got to go, lady. I got to go, lady. I never sit to dry. They put my bags on my shoulders, and I always walk out like this. I never sit. I got to go, lady. All right. It's too much, saints. Our world is becoming more and more impersonal. You can go to a service station, and you don't even have to talk to anybody. You don't have to wave at the person in the counter. You just get your card out, stick it in their thing, and if you go to Get-Go, because I go to Get-Go, and then you can just put your card under there. You don't even have to go in to talk to anybody anymore. There's no contact. Can you imagine what would happen? And this is the way it feels like it's going. You dial 911, and then you hear an animated voice saying, well, if it's a murder, push one. Now, if it's a burglary, push two. If you think the burglar is still in your house, push three. And if you think the burglar has a gun, push four. Woo! It feels like we're headed that way. We don't even talk to people anymore. I don't know where it's going to end, but this technical, impersonal world is just causing us to not have the interaction. There was a little lady in the post office, and she kept getting in the long line. He said, why you keep getting in this line? You can go over there to that machine. All you doing is getting a couple stamps. She says, but the stamp machine doesn't care that my blood pressure is up today. Why would I go to that machine? I'm going to stand in line so I can talk to somebody and tell them what's going on with me today. Hallelujah. Praise God. The machine don't care. Praise your name, Lord. We look at Jesus, and Jesus took time in the midst of the crowd to give the woman who was touching the hem of his garment. He said, who touched me? Who touched me? he gave her his full attention. That's Jesus. Say, sometimes it's not so much what we say, but how we say it. Jesus tells us love is kind, it's patient. And we need to be kind to one another as God has been kind to us through Jesus Christ and has offered us salvation through Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Kindness is love in action. Patience is love in action. Go ahead. Hold the door for somebody who's coming after you. I tell you, I don't know how many smiles I've been able to experience just holding the door at this, whatever store for the next person. Some people are like, you're right. You know, it's like, wow, nobody. Because I've had a mini door slam in my face, haven't you? And I'm just like a few inches from the person and they could care less. So let's hold the door. Let's offer to carry a bag for someone who's trying to carry their groceries, whatever. Kindness has to get out of our bodies, because if it's not shown, if it's not experienced by others, it's not kindness at all. Now, saints, looking at our scripture, let's go down to live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself a sacrifice to take away our sins. Love is an action. Love means taking time. It means making somebody else's agenda your agenda. So the number one best use of life is love. The number two is we must show love through action. And the law number three is the best time to love is now. High five your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the best time to love is now. It's right now. It's right now. Amen. Jesus didn't wait. The best time to love is now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not later, not one of these days, not sometime soon, not when I get around to it. The time to love is now. Whatever we intend to do with our lives, we need to do it now. If we have an opportunity to show love, let's show love now. The Bible says, we can read this together, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Whenever there's an opportunity, that means now. Use every chance for doing good. In other words, right now. The Bible says whenever you possibly can, do good to those who need it. Never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. Saints, what am I saying? Let's don't procrastinate in showing love. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Do it now. Hallelujah. I want to show this last video clip, and it's celebrating loving now. Now, I fell in love with this song the first time I heard it many years ago, and it just reminded me so much of watching Pastor Rick raising Samantha and his time with her. And I just remember when she was to his knee, and he had put his leg up on the wall, and he had crossed his arms, and he was looking in the sky, and he happened to look down. She had crossed her arms, and she had her leg up, and it kept slipping off the wall, but she kept trying to do what he was doing, but he invested the time in her and in our other girls and all the children that we've had. And so I have watched you all, moms and dads, and this video makes me think of you and just how you've invested. When I walked into the room the other day with our fashion show for the girls, and I walked in that room, I was like, am I in the right room? Look at these gorgeous fashion models. I just looked yesterday, and they was little girls. But we've watched him grow up, and you all have done an awesome job. And so this video is celebrating dads and moms and how you have invested. And be encouraged to keep on loving right now.
Child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy too. I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. Said, I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. College just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you, can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, and we're gonna have a good time there.
There's two things I know for sure. She was sent here from heaven, and she's daddy's little girl. As I drop to my knees by her bed at night, she talks to Jesus, and I close my eyes, and I thank God for all of the joy in my life. Oh, but most of all, for butterfly kisses after bedtime prayer, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. Walk beside the pony, Daddy, it's my first ride. I know the cake looks funny, Daddy, but I sure tried. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve a hug every morning and butterfly kisses at night. Sweet 16 today, she's looking like her mama a little more every day. One part woman, the other part girl, to perfume and makeup from ribbons and curls, trying her wings out in a great big world. But I remember white flowers all up in her hair. You know how much I love you, Daddy, but if you don't mind, I'm only gonna kiss you on the cheek this time. Oh, with all that I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve her love every morning and butterfly kisses at night. All the precious time, like the wind, the years go by. Precious butterfly, spread your wings and fly. She'll change her name today. She'll make a promise, and I'll give her away. Standing in the bride room, just staring at her, she asked me what I'm thinking, and I said I'm not sure. I just feel like I'm losing my baby girl. And she gave me butterfly kisses with her mama there, sticking little white flowers all up in her hair. Walk me down the aisle, Daddy, it's just about time. Does my wedding gown look pretty, Daddy? Daddy, don't cry. With all that I've done wrong, I must have done something right to deserve her love every morning and butterfly kisses. I couldn't ask God for more. Man, this is what love is. I know I've got to let her go, but I'll always remember every hug in the morning and butterfly kisses. Oh,
home to and spend some extra time this week. Maybe write a letter. Maybe go visit somebody at the hospital, somebody in their home. Maybe go invite them to your barbecue tomorrow. Maybe somebody's at work that you need to have lunch with. They've been so obnoxious, don't nobody want to talk to them. Nobody wants to have nothing to do with them. But God is calling you, hallelujah, to be the one to show love to the unlovely. Did you know that God specifically puts people around us to love them, amen, to show love to them? Well, we need to do it now because children grow up. They grow up and they leave, amen, praise God. And people die. We didn't come to stay here. We're on a journey and we don't know how long we have with any of us saints. We don't know. And so we need to take advantage of the opportunity to love right now, right now. Chuck Colson wrote this: I think back on my life, my biggest regret is not spending more time with my kids, for not making my family top priority. So today, let's just go home determined, you know, we're going to spend more time. I saw a book the other day. I love the bookstore. This is a book. It was on anorexia. That's when you stop eating and you basically are starving yourself. The title of the book was Starving for Attention. And do you know anybody like that? I do, because I believe everybody is starving for attention, really. We all need attention. So what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? What are we going to do about that? Are we going to change? Are we going to allow these 40 days of love to just be something, oh, it was nice, and, you know, oh, yeah, it was good, but not be any more loving by the end than we are today? I want you to know my goal for this 40 days is to become more loving. I want to become more loving. I do not want to stay at the level of loving that I am at, saints. When I look seriously at my life, I see a whole lot more of me than I want to. And I want to just ask, is anybody else with me who wants to be more than anything else a more loving person? I hope today you want to be that too. Praise God. I hope you're not satisfied with where you are today. I want to be a mature, serious lover. I want to love people who are unlovely. I want to love people who are difficult to love. People who irritate me. People who attack me. I want to love people the way Jesus loved people. Praise God. That's what we're doing these 40 days, saints. Now, we have promised each week we're going to give a little bit of homework for those who are of us who are really serious. This week, we want you to take 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes. You decide. Every day to talk with each member of your family. Just to listen to them. Listen to their heart. Listen to what they have to say. Just face and listen. You might have to offer an apology. You might have to offer sympathy. You don't know what you might have to do. Just listen and talk. Spend some time with the people God has put in your life. Because remember, the best use of life is love. The best expression is action. And the best time to love is now. Praise be to your name, Lord Jesus.